Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. You want to give us a call on the Gambit DC listener lines, Bet, Play, Win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 800-636-1067 is the number. Get back to your calls shortly, but joining us right now is our pal John Keim, insider, covers the Washington football team for ESPN.com. He joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
JK.
I mean, it's only getting worse. We've done this dance many times. How many times do you think you've done this dance where there's some optimism, and then five, six games into the season, it's all gone. It's all evaporated.
I would say most of the time we do that. Yes. It's been a lot.
What was that post-game presser like?
You know, it's weird because we're... I don't even know how to describe it because it's not like, I don't want to say there's resignation because I think that might be the wrong word.
But it sounded like it. I think you're on the right word.
Yeah, maybe that is because it's not like, you know, you're not seeing guys get up there and getting, you know, pounding the podium and doing all that. You know, and I think Rivera has, I think he's trying to be even, as a former coach here used to say. But, you know, you can't, I don't know that what you can do other than try to stay the course. And when I remember a lot of times with this year or last year, I kind of go back to the year Marty Schottenheimer was here. And they were, if you remember, like that was, you know, for people who don't even remember that they were horrible, 0-5.
And I think they lost 9-7 in their fifth game, right?
Yeah, something like that. But they were getting blown out in all the others. I mean, right. Blown out. And every week he'd come in and it's like you expect him to go crazy or whatever. And it's like, what can you do? You just got to practice harder. You got to practice harder. You got to work harder. And that team developed an identity and a toughness that allowed it to get out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, the problem right now is that happening? Or do you, you know, and I haven't seen that happening, but I think from Rivera's perspective, you kind of have to preach a similar message because you're still trying to build long term. But at some point, there's going to be a lot of frustration that spills out over to the lack of not just success, but just playing well, right? You know, they have a harder schedule. We know that, but they haven't really played well. That's the frustrating part. And, you know, it's funny, I was talking with someone else about this last night about, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, I guess, kind of had, I don't know if it was last week or whenever, was kind of all fired up and all that. I said, well, that's great. He's got Patrick Mahomes on his side. You can, you know, so it's like, oh, did he fire up? No, you got Patrick Mahomes, right? They don't have that guy that can bail them out of tough spots. And I think that's part of the problem, too. But those guys are hard to find.
All right, so obviously the offense is going to be challenged. They've had injuries. You know, they got a guy that was off the street playing quarterback who gives us everything he's got. But, you know, we've seen the ceiling. The defense is really, again, what I harp on every single week. I mean, we're 32nd in the league now after that performance. Which I think we're 31 the week before. It's the most overrated defense that I can remember in my lifetime. Maybe there's been one that's been worse, you know. But with so much hype to be where they are. And, yeah, I mean, Chase got a sack, and there were a few pressures, and they played Jamin more. But even though, the Chiefs played their C-minus game, they still rolled up 500 on us. So, I mean, I just don't see anything really getting any better.
No, and you know, it's funny because like I still look at this group, I'm like, you still scratch your head because sometimes there have been times where I've covered these teams here in the past where I hear you're in the locker room, these players will say, and fans will say, like, oh, there's so much more talent there. I'm like, no, there really isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, like some of these guys, there are some players in the past where fans, I just felt like they were names, but they weren't really good players. And I think, like, this group, I do think, has some good players. And, you know, William Jackson was a good corner in Cincinnati. Now, is he a strong number one? No. But he, you know, I know people there, and they really liked him. And so, you know, Kendall Fuller was a solid corner last year for them. But nothing is really working. And I'm not just blaming it all on them. It's just that, but it's like when I go down the roster, I still think they're better than what they've shown.
Than they're playing collectively, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, you know, the sad thing is for them, like you look at it, okay, they've played some really good teams. We know, again, we know that. But when you look at, like, the Giants and the Falcons, the two games they've won, both those offenses had, I think, actually, they both had season highs in points.
Sure.
And I think every team they've played, offense they've played but one, has surpassed their season average in points. The only team that didn't was the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it's been.
And that was, by the way, John, week one when the Chargers didn't play any of their starters in the preseason.
Yeah, but you know that's fine. But I mean, and they still did what they did, and so yeah, you're right. They still did what they did, and the Chargers did move the ball. I mean, they had over 400 yards of offense, so they did move the ball, and it was they played better in the red zone. So you know, but yes, so it's hard to describe all that's gone wrong with them because it's still you look at it, it's like. I didn't, you know, are they, clearly they're not a top 10 defense, but with the talent they had, you thought they'd, even with the schedule, I thought they'd be around the top 10. You know, you knew, and we talked about this before the season, there was going to be a drop because of the quarterbacks they're facing, the offenses they're facing. But even with that, you still thought they'd be up there. So to fall this, like if they had been middle of the pack, I'm like, yeah, okay. But to fall this far is way beyond.
Like, we're the worst.
Beyond.
We're the worst.
Yeah, it's way beyond.
We're the worst.
And it's, you know, it's not just, you know, if you get beat on a play, like, there were a couple plays that Mahomes made yesterday. It was like, you know, and even in the first game, Herbert would make some throws. You're like, that's good coverage. I just, you know, that's just an unbelievable throw or an unbelievable play. And, you know, Jackson gets beat down the sideline. The ball's very well placed. That's what great quarterbacks do. Okay, you can write those off, but it's the missed tackles in those key situations. It's not lining up properly on a 3rd and 10 in the red zone when the game is still in, you know, in the balance, right? Those, like, that stuff is in it. That stuff just keeps happening, you know? I mean, happens all the time. And those are the things where you say, you know, where you just question things a lot more. And I know everybody wants to talk about coaches or coordinators or schemes or whatever like that. But it goes beyond, you know, when you're this bad, it's everything. It just is.
John, did you find it weird that Coach Rivera was pointing towards Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers by saying, well, you know, we face Mahomes, so we're going to be ready for this sort of challenge next week. But you weren't able to stop Mahomes, even on like a C-type day for Patrick Mahomes, couldn't stop him. What makes him think that he can stop Aaron Rodgers and company?
He knows he can't.
He's just
I think he's just trying to find something to build upon.
Yeah. He's just trying to stay positive.
I take what they say with a grain of salt. I mean, they're not going to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, listen, and, you know, it was a C-plus day or whatever it was from Holmes. He's still capable of what we saw. I mean, you know, the what had to happen, you know, defensively, like, I mean, that first half, they did force three turnovers. Should have had another one. Kendall Fuller dropped one right in his you know basket there, but they did force that. And the offense, when it was 13-10 at halftime, it's like they needed a lot more, and they needed that one drive where Hopkins misses a field goal. You needed to finish with a touchdown
because
at some point you knew that the Chiefs gained a lot of yards in the first half, And the defense held by forcing turnovers or the crazy play by Mahomes. But they stopped him a couple times. So they did do their job then, and especially against that offense. But the offense just could provide nothing.
Yeah, and in the end, though, they gave up 500 yards.
They did.
So they did
absolutely
play they okay did. In the first half. I wanted to focus on one thing, John. Third down percentage. They are dead last, right?
Sure.
They're allowing, I mean, it's actually amazing.
58%.
58%.
It's
on
shocking.
Third
that's
down.
That's a huge number.
Yeah.
Where does that fall mostly on? Because I would think if your defensive line, and it's a hype defensive line, all the first-round draft picks, is doing their job and pressuring the quarterback. Because on third downs, you generally know they're going to drop back. That's when you can pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. Then that percentage should be lower.
Yeah. I mean, when you have – I know, like, you know, everybody wants to be aggressive in blitz, right? That's what you hear. But with the beauty of having a group like this is supposed to be that you don't have to do that, which allows you to play more in coverage. And, you know, and they weren't getting it done. And, you know, there were times yesterday where you may have a rush that goes upfield, one of the ends, and then the tackle not only, you know, the tackle goes way, or the end goes way upfield, and the tackle tries to rush inside. Well, now you got a huge gap. And I understand, like with Mahomes, you know, you're trying to get after him, you're a pass rusher and all that, but you leave gaps for him to then expose, whether to run through, to make a big play, or just to run himself. You know, those things like that. But, you know, against Mahomes, you don't want to send extra rushers because teams just haven't done that against him. But so that's one thing. You need to be able to pressure with that front four more consistently. And then, again, we see whether it's coverage breakdowns or, you know, I mean, it's the same thing every week. You know, I don't know what more to say.
You sound deflated.
11 more games.
You sound like the listeners.
Yeah, you sound deflated.
That's how I felt.
Listen, it's brutal. It's brutal. And it's, you know, as a reporter, you don't sit there and root whatever, but you kind of want to watch good football. And it just hasn't been. And that's just like, you know, I feel for those fans going to games, man.
Not many are going, though, John.
It's
be
a
honest.
Tough slog, no doubt.
Well, they're still watching or following, and they want, the fan base wants to get back into it, you know, based on what I hear from people. But they don't give them a reason to ever stick around. And, you know, even after last year, people would ask, like, well, have they turned it around? Have they turned around? It's like, well, we'll find out this year. Because to turn it around, you need to build off what you did and to show that you're going in the right direction. Now, you know, there is a long way to go. And they do have the second half of the year, the schedule is different. But they have to give people a reason to come back. And they just make it hard on the fans.
JK, any idea of where they stand with Fitz and his rehab? And then when would you expect him to come back and possibly take over?
Well, see, it was originally said estimated 6 to 8 weeks. So that's like that injury is a little bit tricky because that hip has to heal before you can really do anything else.
Right, right.
So he's going to get an MRI this week to figure out or to find out where that is all at. And then we'll go, we'll learn more after that.
Has he even been around? Does he like go to practice
every
day?
He's at the facility. We don't see him. Like he's not on the sidelines. He's not at practice. We do see him leaving the facility, which is what guys on IR do. I mean, they're there, they get their treatment and then, you know, they'll be in some meetings and then they'll go or they'll be in meetings and go. But like, so we do see him leaving the facility, but it's a weird setup for us now where you're not really around them like in the locker room at all, so you don't really see guys. You know, before you'd see guys in the locker room when it was open and we could be in there, but now we just see them driving out of the parking lot.
And Samuel, you never know when you're going to see him, right?
I think this will be what Rivera said on Friday, is that today will be a big day for him to see if that groin has improved at all and to see if they have to do something more long term with it. And, you know, that one, that's another problem. Like you look at some of these guys they brought in and they just haven't paid dividends. I mean, and that's been a theme for this place for many years, as you know, like, You know, and it's a groin injury, and those things are tough. And, you know, I mean, that the COVID situation didn't help his recovery in the sense that I think it pushed him back, and maybe you come back and you rush back a little bit more even after missing the time. But it happens all the time,
always,
right?
It's always something.
Yeah. Hey, John, yeah. just 10 seconds or less. What is your theory on the apparent appearance change from Daniel Snyder? Used to wear the custom fit suits. Now he's showing up with hoodies, looking a little disheveled.
That started happening a long time ago.
Okay.
We'd see him at practice like that too, and there was a distinct change. Yeah, I haven't seen the suits consistently in a while, and it's not like we see him at practice all the time anymore. But you know, when he is out there, it's always that's the look.
The big hoodie.
Oversized
hoodie. All right, John.
Thanks. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. See, bro.
All right, that goes more towards my I've given up theory.
A short loser and a big hoodie.
Yep.
That's true when you mention it. You think about it in the last couple of years, he's kind of looked that way. But I just think even like his personal appearance. Now, maybe it's tradition.
I think it's age, maybe the tradition
maybe
thing.
Maybe because of his mom passing, he decided to punt, you know, like grooming. I don't know, man.
I don't know. You'd absolve it.
I'd like to see what every owner in the league was wearing.
I know Mark Davis doesn't look money.
No. That's true. There are some.
He certainly doesn't.
There are some.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get back to the team on the field. Where does this slide end? They've got the Packers next. I don't think anybody's going to believe that they're going to beat the Packers next.
What's the line on that game? Is it already out?
I haven't seen the opener.
Got to be 8.5 or 10, right?
I would think.
800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies. 423 yards per game, gave up 499 yesterday, and they are dead last in terms of points per game. They're giving up 31 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the third down percentage. 58% they're allowing conversions on third downs. That's unfathomable. I looked at it. Middle of the pack in the league is the Houston Texans. They're terrible. They allow 40% on third downs. The 31st team is Miami. They allow 52%, which is terrible. They're 6% worse than the Miami Dolphins.
And by the way, they're facing the buzzsaw known as the Packers next. And after that just horrendous, weird outlier week one, 38-3 bloodbath against the Saints.
Rolling.
All they've done is put up 35, 30, 27, 25. And their low water mark on offense was yesterday, 24 in a road win.
No, they're going to move the ball and they're going to score whenever they
want. They're going to score 34 points at least against this team.
Your question about when does the slide end, I don't know if you mean when can they possibly get a win or when does the defense play better. I don't know.
I think both goes hand in hand. When does the slide end in terms of winning?
I mean, look, they've got three out of their next four that are on the road, and that includes the Packers, Broncos, and Panthers.
You got a shot against the Broncos.
Anytime you look, the Broncos aren't great, obviously, and the Broncos – now, the Broncos are – playing this Thursday.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Day, I believe, right?
I think they're playing the Browns.
They're playing the Browns, yeah, right. So the Broncos are going to have a ton of time off before they play Washington. That certainly helps them. But it's a road game, and it's in Denver, and Denver's not easy to go to win. And then Buccaneers, they're going to roll up 35 or 40. And then the Panthers, you go on the road to play them. They're not going to be favored in any of these games.
Everybody gets right against this defense. It doesn't matter if you're flailing or struggling coming in. If you put up 13 or 14 points the week before, you're going to put up 30 against
the Broncos. And then when they play Seattle, Russ is going to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Broncos is where you can end your slide. Teddy Bridgewater had 3 interceptions yesterday. The Broncos have lost 3 in a row.
I knew they were counterfeit.
3-0 start was a mirage.
But it doesn't matter. You're
not going to be favored.
You want to be able to string together wins. Yeah. Like that's what you're saying. When you say
this team's not capable,
you're talking about like consecutive wins. You might get lucky four games in a row. They don't have a run in them.
No.
They don't have that ability to be consistent and rack up wins.
They're a bad team. The Lions are the worst team in the league record-wise. They were kind of a trendy play this week because they've had so many close games and they just got smashed.
A quick aside, I will never put the Lions in the weekend parlay ever again because all I'm doing is dooming the parlay.
Yeah.
That's all that's happening.
Okay, so the Lions are worse than Washington.
They're the bullet train of the
number Texans one pick. Are worse than Washington.
Yes.
Anybody else?
I don't know.
You know what?
It's a good question.
I put the Dolphins close.
Giants, maybe?
If you lose to the Jags, I have to put you in that category.
Yeah, the Jags.
You just don't know because if Washington played those teams, those would be coin flips.
Okay. Well,
so you can't say they're worse.
Okay, it's fine. They're among
the
six
bottom
or seven
five.
Worst teams.
Yes, yes.
Undoubtedly among the worst six or seven teams.
Correct.
Out of 32.
Look, if they played the Lions, Jared Goff might go off for 320 and 3 touchdowns.
Well, he would, because I'm guessing that Teddy Bridgewater, who did have 3 touchdown passes and threw for 330 yards, he's going to have his best day of the season against the Washington football team.
He will feast on this defense.
Much like Matt Ryan did, much like Daniel Jones did.
Right.
Hey, Valdez, I have a question for you. You guys are doing your own show over there. Okay. Like, as a Ravens fan?
Yes. This is Matt Valdez.
Because I've forgotten what it's like when you think your team can win every week. What's that like?
What's it like? It's pretty awesome.
Like, are people... I honestly don't know the answer to this. Is every home game sold out?
No, I didn't... Yesterday against the Chargers, it was a big game. And it wasn't sold out. I mean, I saw the upper deck.
I'm surprised by that.
I saw the upper deck. Lots of seats were available.
See, that makes me think that people... Even though, like... Because when we have Ron on, our listenership goes way up. So even though the fan base has disintegrated, it still has a large fan base. Just less people are going to games, maybe.
That's probably across the league. Yeah,
across the league.
I don't know. Plus,
so expensive.
Yesterday was like the first real fall cold day, so maybe the wind and...
I mean, according... You might have seen
empty
seats.
I was wearing a comfy outside.
But according to ESPN.com, they have it at 100% capacity. At M&T Bank Stadium.
Well, that's
70,704 in attendance.
Oh, that's a lie.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, so maybe that's where the tickets sold.
Yeah.
Probably.
Not everyone showed up.
It says capacity is 70,745 at M&T. They had 70,704 according to this.
Uh-huh. That's a lie.
Well, okay, but could be tickets sold.
Washington gets to have the same lies, and they don't even come close.
This is from ProFootballTalk.com,
yeah,
and this was posted early last year, but they were talking about the overall attendance across the league. The NFL averaged 66,000. This is 2019. Mm-hmm. They averaged 66,000 attendees at home games, and That was the lowest average since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think across the board, more people are just sitting in their couch and they're watching all the games. And
you could buy a 65-inch TV for $300.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. But to answer your question, Eric, it is it's pretty nice knowing that your team will show up in a big game.
It must be refreshing to know that.
Well, I mean, it's a great organization. Like, they've been winning for years.
I'm literally just sitting here like dead inside.
You want to talk about lies.
That's how I was yesterday.
You had the life sucked out.
You want to talk about lies.
Passionless.
According to ESPN.com, Washington had 51,000 in attendance out of a capacity 82,000, 63%.
It looks like maybe 35,000 maybe in attendance.
I know there weren't any seats at that London game yesterday. Holy cow. That place
Tottenham Hotspur.
That's why they go over there.
I've been watching those early games.
That was a fun game.
Totally
it was a fun game to watch. But you're right.
By the way, at least that one kicker waited until the like his kicks were draws, which you want like on your drives in golf.
Yeah,
and he waited because it was it looked like it was going wide right, and then it just draws right in.
Yeah, he said nope, and then it was just, whoa!
I couldn't believe that.
But unlike the Bengals kicker who celebrated prematurely,
well, first of all, Urban Meyer he got lucky because he is a complete clown.
I don't know
for his decision to go for it instead of kicking a field goal to go up seven.
So
I was hoping he would lose for that.
Yeah. Well, I will give him credit at the end, though, that quick play to get him
closer.
That's
true.
That was a good play. But I agree with you. He's a terrible coach. All he cares about is chasing poon. I'm convinced.
I mean, how many coaches would do that?
Convinced.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
I think some of the ones that just stick to the analytics. Man, they're just going analytics.
I don't care what analytics guys say. That was dumb.
All right, let's go to the phones. When do you think, as a fan, this ends for the Washington football team? This slide.
Not this season.
When you say slide, define slide.
Just let's go.
Like win two or three in a row?
Win consecutive.
Win a game.
Everyone's going to say they can maybe beat Denver.
Even win a game. This team doesn't look like they're capable of winning a game right now.
They're not going to win this week. They have a shot against Denver.
Shot.
I think their next realistic shot of winning is at Carolina on November 21st.
You don't think they have a realistic shot against Denver?
Not really, because I think Teddy Bridgewater is just going to carve them up.
Oh, I don't think he's going to carve us up.
I don't think.
I think he is.
I just don't think he's that good.
I don't think he's that good either.
He's not great, but he'll average quarterbacks have better days.
I know
against
he's
Washington.
Not that good, but that doesn't matter when you face the soft underbelly of this defense.
I'll give those teams a nod just because it's on the road, and I just don't think that Denver's still tough to play.
I mean, I'll bet sight unseen that he throws for 300 yards against his defense right now.
Like, I wouldn't bet against it. He threw for 300 yards yesterday.
Yeah, why? I mean, he might throw for 350, and that's Teddy Bridgewater. He's nubs.
Yeah, I'm so low regard for him. It's hard for me to go there, but I know where you're coming from.
Every quarterback feasts on this defense right now.
It doesn't matter who
you
are.
Let's go. Let me see. Let's go to Steve in Columbia. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's up, guys? Hey. What's up, fellas? Hey, I went to the game yesterday. Sorely disappointed. The best part of the game was.
What'd you expect?
I had it in my mind. Yeah, absolutely. But the best part of the game really was the first half, the turnovers, and the kick-ass tailgating. Excuse my language. Sorry. The tailgating, delicious filet mignon sandwich that we had before, and then the four jets flying over. That's pretty much it.
That was it.
I do think the last they're going to turn it over. And the season over, and the last five games when they play all the division guys, and we end up with a 7-10 season.
You think? Well, that's pretty optimistic at this point.
They do play some terrible teams, but hey, the Giants could have easily beaten them the first time. So,
hey, what was?
But remember
tailgates?
When they played the Giants? I mean, you'd assume that they would have some of those guys back,
right?
So they're not going to be as bad
roster
wise as they are
division
now.
Division games; those kind of can go either way.
Sure, absolutely.
I was going to ask him what the tailgate scene was.
They're not
like.
Beating Dallas.
Let's go to Reston. Dennis, what's up? You're all with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Another disappointing week for us. As far as what I think we can do for the rest of the year, maybe I agree with the last caller. Maybe a couple division wins if we get extremely lucky. But I want to dwell on number 23 a little bit in our secondary. He is awful. He tried to make a tackle yesterday. We had him like it was like. Third and five, I think, or third and six or something. I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. They throw a little screen pass, okay? They were still behind the line of scrimmage. This guy tries to go up, and he throws his little hip out there to try to tackle this guy. The guy runs and gets a first down on us, okay? But this is just all year long. Number Jackson, I think, he's terrible. He's awful.
William Jackson, the third.
No, you're right, yeah, Dennis. You're right. I noticed a bunch of plays where Tyreek Hill did the same thing, where they got the ball right around the line of scrimmage, and they just kind of bull rushed themselves to a first down, and they were just breaking tackles in the secondary. Yeah, I did notice that.
Well, yeah. It's so embarrassing. These guys are like little girls. They're like little girls. I'm serious. They're like little girls. I think a good college team could kick their butts right now.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
They do stink, but the best college team would not beat this team.
You get his point.
Of course.
It's frustrating. I don't think it should go unnoticed. If you look at the stats, they're picking on Kendall Fuller big time. He was targeted 12 times, nine catches on him.
Wow.
I mean, they're targeting his ass. I mean, William Jackson is not doing much, but they're only targeting him a few times a game. And he's not doing well. They're targeting Kendall Fuller all day.
Do you know how many times Davante Adams is going to get targeted this upcoming weekend? Probably 15 to 18 times. And he'll probably catch 14 balls.
Davante?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to kill
him. Who's going to cover him?
Well, and Aaron Jones is going to go nuts, too. So, and Aaron Jones has been pretty quiet. I mean, he scored yesterday, but he's been pretty quiet the last few years.
Right.
Go to Mike in La Plata. Mike, what's up?
Yo, what's up, Junks? How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, good. What's up?
What's up, Mikey?
Quick. Hey, listen, man. Check it out. I live in Fisher's Grant neighborhood in La Plata, right? We got a crew of guys that's on the text. I'm not a drinker, but one of the guys is a big bourbon guy. Yesterday, I drank about half of a bottle of Elijah Craig, right?
Uh-huh.
All I want to know is the season is going to end, and we're going to be good when the season is over. That's the first thing.
Right.
Second thing is I blame you guys for not propositioning the team when you talk to the coach about getting rid of my boy, the kicker.
Oh, Hopkins?
Help us out, dude.
Hopkins?
Yes, we just run out of time sometimes in these interviews.
What do you want to say? I'll ask what you want to ask.
And we did ask him. He said something, you know, he goes with this cliche, it's not a problem until it's a problem.
But here's
he's
the
not
thing,
why
right?
they lost yesterday.
We don't have a lot of money, but I think we can scrounge up a couple of dollars in our neighborhood to bring you guys on to our neighborhood, do y'all show from there. Then maybe that'll super
I'll
see
switch
all
up the mojo.
No, you don't know our appearance fee. It's pretty big.
Pretty big. And La Plata's far.
And I know La Plata can't afford it.
All right, we'll
send an Uber to pick you guys up.
Yeah,
about
right.
That?
All right.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
All right, coming up next, we're going to go around the league with the Junkies Blitz.
Hey, I think we all agree that it's time of the year when we should look around, enjoy all the treats fall has to offer, like changing leaves, a toasty fire pit in the backyard with Bickle, carving pumpkins like Bickle loves to do for the front porch, and getting the candy bowl ready for neighborhood trick-or-treaters. Whether it's sweet or salty, let Van Meter build a home for all your favorite fall treats. From single-family homes to townhomes to condos, the choice is yours with Van Meter Homes. Visit vanmeterhomes.com/treats for more information.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right to your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the Sunday night football game. Drabby, you can comment on this. You're a Seahawks fan, live and die with the Seahawks. First of all, interesting to see Russell Wilson, who's on the IR, before the game, running a mock 2-minute drill. Hadn't seen that before.
He wants all the ADs.
He was calling plays, changing plays. He was on his knee, like mocking a huddle, doing the whole thing.
What was that all about?
He's a competitor. People just leave my guy alone. Like, I mean, why is everyone always in his business? He's warm enough for a game. Drew Brees used to do the same thing. They said other quarterbacks do it. Is he a little extreme, talking to himself in an imaginary huddle? Yeah, of course, but it's Goofy Russ. What do you want? He's Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
He is goofy, and he is corny.
Have you seen the clips? He's like down on one knee.
Yes, I saw it.
Here's what I care about. He's a lot better than Geno Smith.
He is.
He's a billion times better.
I didn't see this game. I was watching the Dodgers-Braves game, but I didn't see in this game, but I heard there was controversy at the end of the regulation. Was that justified, or was there actual time on the clock?
There was time on the clock either way. I think the refs were, it was like one of those things where a guy gets tackled and then they're running the ball to the line of scrimmage, and the Seahawks got the snap off anyways and the spike with 1 second left, but the refs blew it dead right before that because they wanted to review a catch, which the catch was way in bounds, so it didn't really make sense. I think they were just protecting themselves in case the Seahawks didn't get the snap off.
All right,
well, so the game came down to, look, it went to overtime, and it came down to T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt forces a fumble, and the Steelers win 23-20 in overtime. We spent a lot of time talking about Chase Young and expectations. Chase Young's got 2 sacks, forced 1 fumble. T.J. Watt right now has got 7 and 3 forced fumbles.
Man, he's a complete stud. He's a Hall of Famer.
I'm telling you, T.J. Watt is one of the best football players I've ever seen. At least yesterday. I don't watch him all the time, but he impacts almost every single. It's like an Aaron Donald level.
I mean, he's
level.
Batting down balls. He's just everywhere.
I mean, how does a defensive end bat down, I think, 50% of the balls?
He's a great player. He's a great player.
Causing fumbles. He's an animal.
Yep. He's got good genetics, too. But yeah, he's fantastic. But
T.J. Watt finished with the 2 sacks, as I mentioned, the forced fumble, which was the game changer. He also had 3 tackles for loss, 3 passes deflected, and another 2 quarterback hits on top of all that.
Kicks, I just get bitter because I didn't play Alex Collins. I played Chuba instead.
Wow.
And you just can't. You can't predict these things.
I played Lockett over Collins, and it's going to cost me a pretty penny.
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely
great.
All right, so that's your Sunday night game with the Seahawks falling.
Oh, by the way, the game ended at 12:10 a.m.
Yeah, it was butt late.
A player almost got paralyzed. It was
oh,
so
yeah,
many
I heard
delays.
About that. He's okay, though. They say he's moving fine. Everything.
Just to go through some of the other highlights of yesterday's slate of games.
Oh, by the way, just quickly, you know who's a super stud? Najee Harris.
Yeah.
If he had an offensive line that could block for him, people would be talking about him like they talk about Derrick Henry. But his offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
He is a stud.
Yeah.
And all they do is give him the ball, and they pass the ball to him a ton.
Washington football team.
Well, if you watch them in college,
opponent,
you know he's a stud.
Yeah.
Their next opponent is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
Packers looked horrible in week 1. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers used his famous relax line, but he basically said, chill out, it's 1 game. Mm-hmm. They've ripped off 5 straight, beat the Bears 24-14.
I did like his line to the Bears fans.
We have that.
Okay, good.
Here's what he said after the game.
Let's hear it.
Rodgers snaps it quick. Pressure coming. Scrambles to his right. Pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers. It's Rodgers running for the score.
Right on cue, Joe. That's better.
Could you imagine?
Now, that's
is he
better
saying
audio.
That to the fans?
Yeah, somebody gave him, I think he said it was a woman, gave him the double finger salute.
Yeah.
Right.
And he got Rick. And I think his record is like 19-4 against the Bears in his last 23 matchups.
Could you imagine being a tortured Bears or Lions fan and just having to deal with Aaron Rodgers? Just stealing your soul every year.
That audio is much better than my TV because I saw him. I watched the play. I was watching the game, and I was rewinding it. I was trying to figure out what he was saying. I couldn't figure it out what he was saying.
Right.
Because I couldn't hear it all through my speaker. You clearly can hear what he said there.
You know who's going to be saying that to next week? William Jackson.
Yeah. Well, he clearly owns the Bears. Dude, the Bears have a good defense, though. Like, they actually did a fairly decent job keeping them in the game.
They've been keeping them
but
in games.
Justin Fields, you know, an okay game compared to what he did early on, his first game when he was sacked 8 times, but holds on to the ball long.
He was missing wide open guys.
Sacked 4 times. He finishes with 174 yards passing. The fantasy guy to watch, though, was their third-string running back. Khalil Herbert comes in there and runs for 97 yards and a touchdown.
He's a
hokey. So that's a bright spot for them. But Aaron Rodgers, 2 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown.
By the way, Fields Packers now had 5-1. Allen Robinson wide open in the middle of the field for a touchdown, and he just completely missed him.
Couple other games to mention. The Rams, also 5-1. They destroy the New York Giants 38-11. Did you notice Matthew Stafford pulled the Mahomes? He had the no-look touchdown pass.
I did not. I missed
that. He looked
that.
To the right, threw it to Cooper Kupp on the left. Wow. And if you watch that play, I saw it on social media, but I watched it, and I had the same impression. It looks like the Giants gave up on that play. Like they didn't chase down Cooper Kupp. It was the second Kupp touchdown.
Well, they're giving up on the season.
I think I'm going to win my Giants bet with you. I think I bet them four wins or less. I mean, Daniel Jones just completely crumbled. Now he's coming out of concussion protocol, so you don't know how sharp he is. He was sharp enough to be on the field. 4 turnovers in the game.
How about the Bengals now 4-2? They destroy the Lions 34-11. Joe Burrow, 3 touchdown passes in that game. Vikings pull out a win. Did you watch this one?
That was a great
I mean, it
game
looked like the game was over, and somehow Darnold leads them down the field to tie the game. Although Darnold's stats were horrible. He had a lot of drops.
He's thrown a lot of picks lately.
Yeah, he's become the Sam Darnold.
He was sacked 4 times. He threw the pick.
But then Kirk gets a game winner.
I think he had a fumble, too. Kirk is having an unbelievable season.
By the way,
look at Kirk's numbers this year.
Kirk, just from this game, 33 of 48, 373, 3 touchdowns, pickles, wasn't sacked.
He's the most disrespected guy in relation to the numbers he puts up. People just have no regard for him.
Yep.
And he just puts up monster
numbers. And his coach
numbers.
Might not either, because sometimes they're really trying to pound the ball with Dalvin Cook, but in the end... Why not throw the ball to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen?
Well, the criticism with him over the last few years is that he's just putting up these empty numbers because they're down 17, and he's just racking up numbers, keeping it
right,
making it look like he's having great days, where the first half he didn't play well. But this year, he's actually playing very well. Winning games for them.
He should have another game-winning drive. Remember, I think it was against the Bengals. They had like a 35-yard field goal at the end. Kirk had led them down the field, and the guy misses the chip shot.
They better rest up during the bye week, because coming out of the bye, they host the Cowboys, at the Ravens, at the Chargers, home to the Packers. So their next four are tough.
Just a couple things to mention real quick. Cardinals remain undefeated, destroyed the Browns 37-14.
So they went on the road. Coach wasn't even there, and Kyler Murray just scorched them. Yep. 4 touchdowns.
Ravens smashed the Chargers. That was the revenge game, because the Chargers asked Lamar Jackson to try out at wide receiver when he was coming out of college.
I didn't see much of this game, obviously, because I was focusing on Washington, but how did Lamar play?
He had a couple of turnovers, but they ran the ball very effectively.
I saw it. Pretty much every running back on the roster
scored. Le'Veon Bell found the end zone.
So did Devonta Freeman.
Yeah. How did Lamar actually play, though?
Ho-hum. Mediocre. Right.
Yeah. Were the picks bad?
One was atrocious.
Was it?
Yeah, I think he just didn't even see the guy. Threw it right at the linebacker's numbers.
That was the most impressive game. I mean, to beat the Chargers that way? I mean,
although there is something about the West Coast teams traveling to the East.
Unless you play Washington.
Right. And 2 other games to mention. The Raiders get a win against the Broncos, 34-24. Derek Carr, a couple touchdown passes.
You picked this one. You moneylined it on the parlay. Nice.
I did.
The Cowboys pulled out against the Patriots. By the way, did you notice Bill Belichick's face?
Yes, he was bleeding from
his lip. Why did he have cuts? He had a cut on his nose.
It looked like his lip.
He had cuts on his lips. Did he get socked this week?
I don't know.
Did somebody punch him?
He's an old guy.
Did something happen during the game that we missed?
I don't know. No. It was there before the game.
Oh, I noticed that, but. That was an unbelievable
herpes
finish.
On his lip?
I don't know. No, because there's a cut in his nose.
Yeah, he probably fell. Maybe he was walking the dog or something. The dog took off on a leash and he fell down. I mean, who knows?
I mean, for the Cowboys to win that, I wonder what the percentage was for the Patriots to win that game with 2.5 minutes left and the ball.
Yeah, well, look, Dak Prescott's having an unbelievable year. 445 yards, 3 touchdowns. So Cowboys also improve to 5-1. All right, coming up next, we're going to focus in on the offense, and Taylor Heinicke faced the worst defense in the league, at least entering the game, because now Washington has the worst defense in the league. But you face the Chiefs, and you put up a paltry 13 points. What do you think of Heineke's play, and is it time to start thinking about Fitz? 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.